fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
We are booth live on the scene, Toyota Knoxville, today as we help bring awareness to Toyota Knoxville's efforts for Hurricane Florence relief donations. Stop by and see us from 10 to 1, or stop by Toyota Knoxville before Thursday to bring your toiletries, bottled water, shelf-stable food, toys for all ages, and gently used or new clothes and blankets. Help make a difference in, I guess, the Atlantic region to our east. Hurricane Florence wasn't as bad as they anticipated, but still did some damage. So we need some donations. We're at Toyota Knoxville now from 10 to 1, but you can stop by. It's right inside the door, big box to your left. Stop by, bring your clothes, blankets, food, toiletries, anything you can do to help. Ben Lee back at studio. How are you doing today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, John. Good to be anywhere. Good to be here at Toyota Knoxville. Almost messed that up.
What do you mean almost? You did mess it up.
Yeah. Good to be here at Toyota Knoxville,
uh-huh.
Which is a part of anywhere. And it's good to be anywhere. Feeling good this morning. I feel energized. I feel refreshed. Got up early today.
Got to see your bright face at 8:45 this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Got up early. Car's in the shop, so I had to get a ride with you over here. And I got up at like 7:30 this morning. Took a shower.
Glad I could help. You look great.
Like a normal human today.
You are a functioning member of society today. Congratulations. Last night, stayed up watching some of the Bears-Seahawks game. Feel bad for Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson is still a top-level quarterback in a league that doesn't have very many top-level quarterbacks. I still feel like he is elite. The team around him is not. And last night, you saw an offense that could not get off the ground for three quarters. In the fourth quarter, able to score two touchdowns, including a third one to the Bears, which is not the point of the game, but Chicago's defense just swallowed him up whole. Again, another game on primetime for the Bears, another game in primetime where Khalil Mack dominates. Every Bears game, every Raiders game, we'll see people complaining about how stupid John Gruden is, and it gives me life.
Yeah. Yeah, man, Chicago looked good again last night. You know, finally got a win. I keep thinking we're like in week three or four in the NFL season for some reason. I forget we're only 2 weeks in now. But, you know, they had their comeback that they let happen in week one against the Packers. But they looked good last night. Seattle really didn't look good. I don't know if last night's game is more indicative of if Seattle's bad or if the Bears are decent now.
Yeah, well, I think we'll find the story out. No, first of all, I do think the Bears are decent. I do think the Bears are solid. They're, you know, a bad fourth quarter away from being 2-0 and in first place in that division.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be fine. I think they'll compete sort of for a wild card spot. I don't think they'll get there this year, but I do think they'll be competitive. As far as the Seahawks go, yeah, it was pretty jarring to see Joe Tessitore, who, by the way, is probably the best guy doing play-by-play right now.
I think that's...
Is he number one now?
Yeah, without a doubt. He gets so excited. I mean, he's so energetic. And
Seems like Tessitore is the number one in sports right now.
Yeah, that's why he's got the Monday Night Football job. I mean, that's about as good as it gets, you know?
I feel like it's tough for him with Witten and Booger, especially as they try to find their footing. But I think Tessitore is a stud. I think he is the best in the game. But, you know, whenever they're breaking down the Seahawks defense, right, and... It's like, well, here's the here's what they looked like when they were in the Super Bowl and they were really good, and here's all the people who are gone, and they wipe out everybody except KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas, and they're like, and KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner are hurt, it's just Earl Thomas tonight.
Earl trying to do his thing while everybody else is gone.
But the Seahawks defense wasn't the problem. The Seahawks were fun. It's just their offense. Their offensive line could not block the Bears, and they didn't have any playmakers on the outside, and they need Doug Baldwin back, and they just need a bunch of help. And, man, I feel bad for Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, Russell Wilson's got it bad shape for him because that O-line is no good.
By my calculation, we are, what, 4 months away from Pete Carroll deciding to go back to USC?
You know, it could work out that way, especially with USC off to the start they're having. I mean, they've lost two now to Stanford.
Now, did he get hit with any like show calls or anything after the USC sanctions?
It's been so long.
That's true. I guess I guess if he had a show cause, that'd be expired by now.
Yeah, surely he's good to go now. But yeah, the start that they're off to, you know, they can't put up any points offensively. So how do you fix that? Well, you can bring in Pete Carroll.
Let us be the first show to start those rumors.
I'm good with it.
Let us be the first show to start those rumors. We will put a bow on week two of the NFL later in the show. We'll do our power rankings.
MySpace top eight.
Cody will give you his MySpace top eight. I'll give you my top five NFL teams. The Bears aren't going to be on there. If we're doing a bottom five, though, the Seahawks would probably be creeping into my bottom five. They're close. As a team, I did not feel good about coming into the season. I thought they played pretty well in week one against Denver. And then I thought last night, just had opportunities and could not take advantage of them. They've been doing the same thing for the last 3 years, where they're trying to play a ground control, burn the clock type of offense. And then every first half they struggle until the 2 minute drill. And they're like, oh yeah, let's just let Russell Wilson go run tempo, and then they go down the field and score.
Yeah, and they did it quick last night too. As soon as they got down 17-3,
went right back
he let
the
them right down. Yeah.
Same as they got the ball, you know, with a minute left in the first half, down 10-0, and you let them right down the field for a field goal. Like, I don't get, like, what they're doing. Like, Wilson can succeed if they're running a tempo, kind of no-huddle thing, but for some reason they insist on trying to grind games out. It's a strange strategy that I think has been plaguing Russell Wilson for the last couple of years.
Well, even after the pick six, then they came right back after that, scored again. They ran out of time. You know, they tried the onside.
After the pick six, they had the ball. They moved a little bit, but he got stripped. He ended up getting stripped on that as he was going deep. They fumbled, but, yeah, they get the ball back with 2:40 left, and, yeah, he goes 99 yards in a hurry.
Khalil Mack that stripped it? He stripped one out at one point in the game, but it wasn't the later one.
Yeah, Khalil stripped one out, but the Seahawks ended up recovering that one. This was a different one. The Bears got a couple beasts on that defensive line. Their front seven's good, man. It'd be exciting to be a Bears fan right now because you got a good, young, nasty defense, and Trubisky's going to be able to do just enough with Nagy calling the plays. Like, it should be exciting times.
Yeah, I think it is in Chicago. I mean, imagine coming into the season and you're thinking, maybe we could be better. You know, defense was okay last year, and you're kind of guiding your way through the preseason, and then you land Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And it's like, man. What a great time to be a Bears fan.
That's what I was going to say. Like, the moment, you know, you felt good about the way you ended last year. You're like, okay, we got some young pieces. We had a good draft. Okay, yeah, we might be pretty good this year. And then, yeah, you go and you trade a first-round pick and a second-round pick for Khalil Mack. And you're like, okay, yeah, now we're going to be good. And then you get your rivals, the Bears in the Packers in week one, and you play well against them, and then you feel good. And then, yeah, now you – plus, they were gifted back-to-back primetime games, which seems weird for a team like the Bears to have two, you know, back-to-back Sunday night, Monday night games.
Well, they're a big market team, you know.
They're a big market team, yeah. I guess, with some excitement, but now they got some young, exciting players as well.
Yeah, and, I mean, like you said, the moment you land Khalil Mack, to me it just changes the entire trajectory because now you can build around him as a, you know, you should be building to win a Super Bowl at some point now. Now, I mean, they're a ways away from that, but...
You would think with the defense you have, and quite frankly, their skill players aren't bad either. Combined with the number two pick in the draft, you would start looking and saying, okay, yeah, this might be a team that can, you know, have Super Bowl aspirations. Now that seems pretty premature, which I know you're not saying that's going to happen, but
no, I just mean, you know, in the next couple of years, you build around Khalil Mack and the defense you've got,
right?
Get some big time players on offense and. You might be able to be in contention for something like that down the road.
for the Seahawks, their season goes one of two ways. On Sunday, they finally get a home game. They had to open with two on the road, which stink. They lost both of them. Played two pretty good defensive lines. They get a pretty good defense in week three as well this Sunday whenever they have to play the Cowboys. But the Seahawks desperately need that game. If they win, I think they'll feel a little bit better about themselves. If they lose, they're going to be on the verge of tanking.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, you lose to Dallas. I mean, you're 0-3. I saw a stat last night about teams that start 0-2. It's like
they don't make the playoffs a lot.
No, it's
I'm
like,
assuming
it's
that's like what the 10, stat is.
It's like 10 out of 92 teams. They cut it off at 92 teams or something. The last 92 teams that have gone 0-2, I think 10 of them have made the playoffs.
Yeah, you don't make the playoffs often.
It does not happen.
When you go 0-2. Now, I don't think the Seahawks are making the playoffs even if they beat the Cowboys, but I'm just talking about on the verge of tanking into a top five pick versus trying to be competitive. So last night, Bears get a win 24-17. It's Florida week. I was reading an article this morning of a writer trying to make the case, Cody, that this is the biggest Tennessee-Florida game in the last 10 years.
Who wrote that?
Somebody I'd never heard of.
You mean the biggest game from, I mean, how does that? Like, what perspective? I mean, it's hard for me to imagine this is big. Maybe for both teams. Because for Florida, they had some big ones because they're trying to win titles, you know. And then for us, I mean, 2016 obviously was huge, but it wasn't that big of a game for Florida, I guess. So maybe program trajectory.
Yeah, what I was doing was a tease for us to talk about on the other side.
Oh, okay. Cool. Sounds good.
We're live at Toyota Knoxville. Stop by, see us with your Hurricane Florence relief donations. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Join Fox Sports Knoxville each game day as we bring you the Fan Run Tennessee Tailgate, live from Leaderboard on the famous Knoxville Strip. Tennessee Tailgate is a pregame show and live event all in one. Swing by Leaderboard to tailgate with us before home games and watch Tennessee's road games. And don't forget to listen to Fan Run Radio to hear the Tennessee Tailgate pregame show beginning 2 hours before kickoff each week. It's the Fan Run Tennessee Tailgate from Leaderboard. Game days on Fox Sports Knoxville. Fan Run Radio.
Saturday Down South. Neil? You ever heard of a guy named Neil? Works for Saturday Down South?
No.
Like I said, nobody I'd ever heard of, but it was a nice piece. It was long. It was well written. But it makes the case that this is the biggest Tennessee-Florida game in the last decade. Two first-year coaches. That's the first time it's happened in 40, 50 years. Two programs who, quite frankly, need a boost, need a win. Made the case that, hey, you know, Urban Meyer's first year in Florida, what really jump-started his tenure was the road win in Neyland Stadium, 21-20.
Oh, yeah. I remember that very well. The parallels this year between Tennessee and Florida, I do think, are as even as they've been in a decade. Like, when you first said that, it kind of jumped out. I was like, there's no way. These are two really bad teams coming off four-win seasons. But, you know, for the trajectory of the two programs, respectively, maybe he's not that far off.
Both teams staring down the barrel of really bad starts in conference play. If they lose this game, Urban Meyer's first year is 2005. His first trip to Knoxville is 2006. They won the national championship in his second year.
If you look at the big games in this series, the last 10 years, it's been one sided, one way or another, and you know 80% of those have been in Florida's favor. But if you look at honestly 2015 and 16, even though Florida won the East, Tennessee, we've talked about, Tennessee was a much better team. So like,
yeah, and I'd say last year they're both terrible teams, but Tennessee outplayed Florida and still found a way to lose that game.
Yeah, and then the other years Florida was just a much better team. So like the game might have been bigger for one team in the last decade, you know, on one side of the equation. But for both teams, I think maybe Neil's on to something. I think it's a pretty good take because this does seem like a big game for both these teams. You know, Florida fans.
It's bigger for different reasons. In the past, it's been big for a team because the winner had something to gain, right?
Yeah.
And in this scenario, the loser really gets punished. Florida staring down the barrel of 0-4 in the SEC if they lose this game. Tennessee staring down the barrel of 0-4, at least if they lose this game. Maybe most likely 0-5, right?
Most likely.
Assuming you don't beat South Carolina, which if you lose to Florida, you have no right to think you're going to beat South Carolina. You're staring down 0-5.
You're sitting at 2-6, essentially.
Yeah. Now, granted, Tennessee could pull an upset there, and sure, that's plausible, and you shouldn't throw those games away. Don't want to sound like we're being negative, but you feel like you're in trouble if you lose this game. Same for Florida, who goes to Starkville and then plays LSU.
Yeah.
So you lose this game. The loser is going to be in a lot of pain. The first-year coaches, you know, Dan Mullen will make history with another stat from 1986. Like, Florida doesn't want to think about the year 1986. That was the last time Kentucky beat Florida. It's also the last time Florida started 0-2 in the SEC.
Yeah.
Which is what happens if they lose to Tennessee on Saturday.
That is a long-running stat. That's the last time Florida started 0-2 in the SEC, 1986.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Yep.
That it's been that long in there. And so,
when's the last time Tennessee started 0-2 in the SEC?
Would have been 2017.
Oh, no. Not as impressive.
No, not so much. So, and many years before that, I'm pretty sure. From a Florida perspective, too, like, you think about how their fans are feeling right now. They just lost to Kentucky for the first time in 30 years. So, like, the two things Florida always does, even if they're bad, they beat Kentucky and Tennessee.
That's been the case for what, 12 of the last 13 years?
Yeah, even in their bad years. So, like, if they start 0-2, not only 0-2 in the conference, but the losses are to Kentucky and Tennessee, their fans are going to be really irate, which I hate that for them, you know.
Yeah, you would really hate to see that.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? But, no, I mean, in all seriousness, though, like, I've seen a lot of their fans on Twitter and online, like, both of these fan bases kind of look at this the same, like, it's a team that we shouldn't lose to, but that we're going to be asking ourselves, how are we losing to this team? You know, because they're both bad.
Felipe Franks has one career win on the road in conference play.
Who was that?
And it was a game where he got benched. He didn't even finish the game.
Had to be against Vanderbilt or Kentucky. Well, it had to be. Well, I mean, probably was it last year in Lexington?
Yeah.
That would have been
it. Yeah, that would have had to have been it, right?
Yeah.
That was our only, that was our only SEC road win, I'm pretty sure.
Had to have been. Yeah, because they played in Gainesville this year. I don't know about Vandy. I think they lost to Vandy last year. I don't remember.
I'm pulling it up.
No, maybe they beat Vandy last year. They beat Tennessee, Kentucky.
They won at Kentucky, 28-27.
I knew they won at Kentucky.
Yeah, that would be that's Felipe Franks' only career road win.
You got their schedule?
Yeah, I mean, that's it right there.
What about Vandy? Did they lose to Vandy? Just curious. Well, for some reason, that game last year.
No, they beat Vandy 38-24.
Okay.
That was a game where I remember it because I had Vandy plus 10, I think, and it was a game where Florida ran a fourth and one or fourth and short or third and short. They were running the clock out, and they ended up scoring a long touchdown on it.
Yeah. Brutal.
To cover the spread.
Brutal.
So Franks, obviously, not great. Garantano, obviously, no big wins at home. No Power 5 wins at home. I mean, Garantano's yet to beat a Power 5 team. This whole Tennessee team's never beaten. You know, from the last 2 years, a lot of these key players never beaten a Power 5 team at home or on the road. Just one neutral site win over Georgia Tech.
Man, Garantano's never beaten a Power 5 team.
Garantano has never beaten a Power 5 team.
Man, when you put it like that. Not good.
Felipe Franks has one road win in his career.
Well, one of these programs is going to feel a lot better Saturday, probably. Or maybe not. Maybe it's just, are we at the point where a win over Florida is, like, is there any way that we could come out of this beating Florida and still not feel very good?
No.
You think we're going to be pretty elated either way?
Right. I mean,
I think so. I'm just wondering if it's like that 10-9 game again. You know what I mean?
Like, well, if we'd have been on the right side of that 10-9 game, I think people would have been happy. Like if Worley gets them in field goal range and you win 12-10, I think you feel pretty good about that.
The streak would have ended. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, plus, I mean, it's just, I mean, I was born in 1990 and I've been cognitive of what, 4 wins over Florida?
01, 03, 04, and 16.
Okay, so 5. I was cognitive for 98.
98, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, like, I don't take this for granted.
Yeah.
So, like,
I don't either.
Yeah, just... if Tennessee wins a 6-3 slop fest on Saturday, sure, maybe you're not as excited for the rest of the season, but best believe me, we're gonna feel good and celebrate beating Florida on Saturday, even if you win 6-3.
We're still going to throw down. With a 6-3 win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
the script's still going to be lit.
We're not going to make any apologies about that. Now, granted, it changes. You know, you still feel awful heading into your next games, but yeah, you're gonna feel good.
You know, it's Tuesday. I already feel better today than I did yesterday.
It's the natural cycle.
It's the way Florida Week always goes.
Biggest game in the last 10 years. If you have any thoughts on that, we'll open up the McKinney team hotline. 865-546-8200. That's the number to get on board with us. We're live at Toyota Knoxville. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. (865) 546-8200. That is the number. If you would like to weigh in on the McKinney team hotline, is this the biggest Tennessee Florida game in the last decade? You can hop on the McKinney team hotline. If you want tickets to the Tennessee Florida game, go to Travis and Emily McKinney, Keller Williams on Facebook. And reply to their post, why you deserve the tickets, why you want them, what you plan to do with them, who you plan to take, what it would mean to you. Last I checked last night, 75 submissions on there. 75 submissions, so we're putting their team to work in terms of weighing in who has the best reason, the best case to go to the game.
So we'll talk to Travis, what, tomorrow?
Yep.
And is that when the winner will be announced?
That's when the winner will be announced. So you have a day. Go to Travis and Emily McKinney, Keller Williams on Facebook, and you can make your submission. You can also visit ZillowKnoxville.com to learn more about their listings that they have currently right now and how you can get in touch with them if you plan on selling your house. We appreciate them for their support. Yeah, Travis will be with us tomorrow to announce the winner. So if you're looking for tickets, like I said, go to their Facebook page and go to the McKinney team on Twitter and reply there as well. So far, about 75-80 submissions on both platforms. So they'll have some work to do in terms of deciding who wins, but you still have time to get yours in.
I think I'm still looking for a good aisle seat somewhere.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what to do with my 2 tickets.
Sell them. You can probably get pretty good money out of them.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I still want to go.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big part of me that wants to go.
You and your mom?
Oh, no. I think mom's falling out.
She's not going?
Well, I mean, I don't know if she's listening, but no, I don't. If I go, because if I go, I'll probably have to leave, like, in the... Yeah. That's the thing, is, like, the post-game show, so if it's close, I'll want to stay, but I'll probably need to leave because Lord knows the people don't want to see just Russell on voluntary action. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah. I mean,
kind of need the star of the show there for the biggest.
Yeah.
for the biggest game of the year.
It's hard to do it without that, you know.
But do I want to risk? Do I want to basically punt on $300? Because I mean, I could easily sell those tickets for $300. They're row seven.
I mean, you got to sell them, if anything, right? Like, you can't just...
Well, yeah, I'm going to sell them.
Yeah.
If I don't go.
Right.
But I might go. Yeah.
You're just trying to decide. I mean, to go, though, and leave... I don't know. It depends on what kind of game it is. I don't think this is going to be a blowout of any sort. God, I sure hope not. I mean, I definitely don't see Tennessee winning big, and that Florida team I don't think is capable of winning big. So,
like, yeah, just by default, this game should be close in the fourth quarter, right? One way or the other?
That's what I would think.
I'm really torn. I'm really torn on what to do.
It's a bad situation to be in. Because I'm going to go. Like, I got the pregame show, so I might miss half the first quarter or something, but I'll get to be there for the end, you know? You guys should have signed up for pregame instead of postgame. But that wouldn't really be, it wouldn't have the same kind of allure to it.
I don't know.
You could just have a fill-in with Russell, like some guy that looks like you for a bit.
That's true. I could probably easily find somebody who looks like me, just chubby bald guy.
Yeah.
Just tell him to sit there with the, in front of the mic and mimic, like pretend like he's talking.
Just move his mouth as a prop and you're actually on the phone. You could do that.
Last year, you know, doing the postgame show, I got to go to the Georgia Tech game. That was the only game I really wanted to go to. Got to do it. Got to check out, you know, the Falcons' new stadium. Got to actually see Tennessee's only Power 5 win. And I haven't got to go any games since then. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we haven't won since I haven't been there. Like, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's related. So a part of me thinks, like, hey, I was there for the last time Tennessee beat Florida. Maybe I need to be there on Saturday.
It's like it's a certain magic that the team feels when you're there, right? I mean, what are the last few games you've been to?
I know. Just Alabama.
Oh, well, never mind. But, you know, last one, you know, so like
you won
the last one.
Georgia Tech, we won. Let's see. Alabama, we don't talk about that one.
I mean, that was everybody.
Texas A&M.
Okay, so it's 1-2.
Georgia.
2-2.
Florida.
3-2. There we go.
Virginia Tech.
4-2.
Ohio.
5-2.
Appalachian State.
6-2.
Yeah.
Team wins, it's like a 75% win percentage in the last three seasons.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good math.
Yeah.
2015.
Great. I can handle basic.
2015. Let's see. What did I do at the end of the year 2015? Did I go to any games? I feel like I didn't go to the South. I didn't see the South Carolina or Vanderbilt loss.
That was 2016. That was
2015. Yeah, 2016. 2015. I feel like I ended my season with an Arkansas loss. So we don't go back that far.
Yeah. No need to go back that far.
So we're all right.
So basically the. Point being,
there's a 75% there's a 75% chance that Tennessee wins if I go, according to my math.
I feel like people will give you a little time. You think they'd give you a little time if they know how bad you really want to see the end of the game?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't know how long it would take
to get from packed Neyland over to the station.
Yeah.
If you had a ride, if you had somebody to pick you up, you could be there. I think if you take that back way through Sutherland, I think you could make it. I mean, it'd be at least a half hour, probably.
Make a call.
Yeah.
I just don't know who I'd have to have be waiting on me outside of the, you know.
I could wait on you.
You're going to be at the game.
Yeah, it's true. Going to be tough. You could get an Uber, but they won't be there for.
Right.
I mean, you can't.
It's a real thing. Ben Lee says Andrew could do it. There we go. Andrew's going to the game, too, though.
That's a good point.
Andrew's going to the game. I make Ben pick me up.
That's the problem, is everybody wants to go to the game. And everybody, I mean, it's the Florida game. You know,
It's the like, Florida game. It feels like a big game, even though it's a 4-8 team going up against a 4-7 team. And neither one of these teams have a Power 5 win this year. And they've both looked pretty bad in their Power 5 game. Like, Tennessee looked pretty bad against West Virginia, all things considered. And Florida really got dominated on the line of scrimmage by Kentucky. The offensive and defensive lines got whipped. If Kentucky doesn't fumble and turn the ball over a couple times, in Florida's territory, Kentucky probably wins going away. I don't know what the quality of the game is, but this is what rivalry games are made of, right? Like, you know what they always say, throw the old record book out when these two teams play. Throw the old record book out in rivalry games. Like, this is supposed to just be a good atmosphere. It's a big game. I don't think it's a misstatement to say that the game is more punishing to the loser than it is rewarding to the victor, right?
I think that's accurate, yeah.
Because Tennessee would be staring down the barrel of 2-6. Jeremy Pruitt would miss his first big opportunity for a win over a rival. Maybe his best opportunity in the coming years for a win over a rival, right? Like, is that fair to say? Is Saturday his best chance for a win over a rival? Now, we're not counting Vanderbilt as a rival in this scenario.
Yeah.
In this scenario, I'm counting Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. This feels like your definite best chance to do that in the next, at least for the next 2 years.
I mean, if you count Vanderbilt, you might have a good chance to go 2-2 instead of 1-3.
Just put Vanderbilt in instead of Georgia.
2-2 against rivals, yeah.
Let's just throw Georgia out and pretend like Vandy's our third biggest rival. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it that way, yeah. I mean, because we had a conversation. You remember, like, a few months back about how, you know, it could be tough in the coming years against your rivals, against Florida and Georgia and Bama. Like, you could end up only having a chance to win like 30% of those games, mainly just against Florida. I mean, because we're not expecting to beat Georgia or Alabama in the next 2 years at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to say.
It's not going to happen this year, and we're probably not expecting to be competitive with them next year.
If you had to ask me to actually bet money if Tennessee beats Alabama in the next 5 years, I'm taking no.
Now, maybe 2 years from today, like, could we be competitive? I hope so. I hope so by then, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't either. They're so good right now. Like,
I mean, not to make this praise Alabama's portion of the show, but like,
I'm not even talking Bama, I'm talking Georgia.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I just don't consider,
yeah, I mean, like, next year maybe you have a chance against Georgia, maybe
at home.
Yeah,
probably not,
most likely not, but next year is your best chance to win the East for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, because of the way the schedule works out,
right?
Although Mississippi State will probably still be pretty good.
They'll lose both of their studs on the defensive line, which is really helping that team.
They'll still have Fitzgerald.
Will they?
I believe so, yeah.
The loser gets punished. The winner gets a sense of stability. Like, Jeremy Pruitt could sell this win, right? Like, in terms of recruiting, in terms of a fan base. Like, hey, this is a team with equal talent to us, and we beat them. This is the team we match up well with, and we beat them. This is what we can do. If we can recruit at a certain level, we can get back to winning these games consistently. Because, look, here's the proof. Equal opponent, we beat them. Big game at home, under the lights, national TV. And that's, you know, that's a credit to the Tennessee-Florida rivalry that this game's even at 7 o'clock, right, on ESPN?
Yeah.
That it still has enough pull to do that.
Instead of the SEC network.
Right, instead of the 4 o'clock SEC network or the 7:30 SEC network, like, ESPN still thinks highly enough of this to put it on ESPN. The winner gets a sense of stability. The winner gets a little bit of a boost, and you know, Tennessee and Florida are going to start going head to head for some recruits. Like, hey, we beat them, we're ahead of them. And, you know, you get to break your losing streak because neither one of these teams have beaten a Power 5 opponent in a long time.
Yep, somebody will come out of this one feeling good, and somebody's going to come out feeling really bad.
Let's look into that statement that it's the biggest of the last 10 years.
Okay.
Last year, obviously, no. Although last year felt like the opposite stakes, right? Like, this year, you're saying both coaches trying to get a start, trying to get a boost. last year it felt like a loser leaves town match, right? Like whoever lost that game was getting fired. Now, granted, they both ended up getting fired, but at that time it felt pretty similar. Like, hey, Florida just been, you know, just been beaten down by Michigan, Tennessee. You know, obviously you knew what was going on with Butch Jones. That felt like a loser leaves town match. Both guys got fired. The win didn't do anything for McElwain. 2016, bigger for Tennessee for sure. Mm-hmm. Florida probably was big for them as well. Checkered kneeling, smoky grays, Tennessee put out all the gimmicks. Got a big win. Maybe 2016 was bigger.
I guess no more checkered kneeling, right?
Thank God.
Guess that's over with.
I mean, it's just, we haven't really talked about that.
No.
I'm glad it hasn't picked up steam.
All the other shows have talked a lot more about it. We haven't even mentioned it. Till now.
There's nothing to mention. It's not happening. Just win.
I was okay with it.
You liked it?
Yeah. I didn't, but I don't need it. You know what I mean? I was cool with it, but I don't need it.
At this rate, we probably should save it for Kentucky.
Yeah.
Try to get an extra boost to will out a win over Kentucky or Missouri.
Might need it. Bring back the smoky grays. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, the grays are dead.
I don't think we're ever going to wear gray again.
No, the gray's dead.
Until P.J. Fleck takes over in 2020.
P.J. Fleck's got Minnesota rolling.
2021.
Minnesota's rolling.
Then we might bring him back. I think this is the most even that the teams have been in 10 years in terms of where the programs are at, not necessarily on the field, because obviously, you know, 2014, you're talking separated by 1 point, both really, really bad. But as far as programs and where they're at, I think this is the most even we've been.
I'd say that's fair.
Because I think Florida fans look at this just about the same way we do. They're, you know, they're looking at Tennessee the exact same way we're looking at Florida. They're like, God, I hope we don't lose to this team.
That, first-year coaches, losing streaks, just everything. Tennessee and Florida seem pretty similar in where they're at. That's a great point by you. Stick with us as Talk Sports, live at Toyota Knoxville, I-40 in the Lovell Road exit. Come by, submit your Hurricane Florence relief donations, bottled water, new or gently used clothes, blankets, toiletries, food that won't expire. Come by, help make a difference. They're sending it out Thursday. Thursday's the deadline. You got 2 days left to come by and help us out. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Davey. Back on the program. Every time we're out here, I like to welcome on Sawyer Bowen. Sawyer, good morning. Thanks for having us out here. And thanks for what you're doing with this hurricane relief.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming out as well, guys. I appreciate it. Always good to have you guys out here.
Gearing up for this Friday, pandemonium reigns in World's Fair Park. Toyota Knoxville is the main sponsor of this event, correct?
Yes, we are. Both Toyota Knoxville and Lexus of Knoxville.
What's going on right here? Like, what are we doing with Pandemonium Reigns? Are we doing anything outside? Anything special, I guess? Does Toyota Knoxville have any big plans as the main sponsor? Are we doing anything outside of just the game? Because, like, on our side, we're focusing, hey, come watch the 1998 Florida game. Use it as a pregame for your tailgate on Saturday. Come by, celebrate, get the juices flowing. Remember what it was like to win big games inside Neyland Stadium. Remember what it was like when things were good, when Tennessee was beating Florida. Remember what it was like. Like, how are you guys approaching this event from your end?
Yeah, so for us, we love the nostalgia aspect for University of Tennessee. That's always a huge thing for the organization.
The president isn't great. We gotta rely on nostalgia.
Yeah, so for what we're doing is Fred White's actually going to be commencing the screening for Toyota Knoxville and Lexus of Knoxville. We've had Fred do a couple of things at the dealership. More recent, I mean, he's a 98 alum, so I mean, that definitely helps as well. We'll have a vendor booth for Toyota. We're going to have free water, free clear bags. Ooh. And then
free water is going to come in clutch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then you have a chance to win free oil changes for a year in the Toyota one. That will be in the general admission. And then in the VIP, you'll have the Lexus booth. And you'll have the opportunity to do free car washes for a year. So you'll have opportunity to win that prize. So we are going to try and up it up a little bit just from regular vendor booth options that we typically do and just give – the opportunity for fans and then people that are going to be at the screening and be able to win some cool prizes from us.
Friday, World's Fair Park, Pandemonium Will Reign. That's the 1998 Tennessee-Florida game. We've been talking about the 2018 Tennessee-Florida game. A writer called it the biggest game of the last decade. Are you buying this game being a huge game for both programs, or does the fact that both of these teams are coming off of a four-win season kind of damper the mood for you? How do you feel about this game?
I think you always are, and every fan for either team is always looking forward to this game. So for the biggest game of last decade, I'm not sure about that, but I think fans overall, being a 7 o'clock start as well, going to be really, really enjoying every aspect of Neyland Stadium that day.
Yeah, the people were really buying the idea that night games are louder. We put up our Toyota Knoxville poll question yesterday. It got over 3,000 votes, and I think it came back like 93% of people saying, yes, night games are louder.
Oh, yeah, easily.
I'm not buying it.
I believe it. I was at – I've been at a handful of night games, handful of day games. I think the loudest night game I went to just in person – for University of Tennessee was probably the Missouri game, and that wasn't even that big of a game. It was pretty loud just for a night game.
The Missouri game. We gotta get you out more. If the Missouri game was the loudest,
it was a loud game.
Usually people go with Oklahoma.
What was that? Saw your 2014 or 16?
I'm gonna go 16. It was the one they put up like 50 points. Yeah. The running back from Missouri
ran for like 400 yards.
Oh yeah.
You saw your.
It was 20 degrees outside.
Sawyer
too,
just shot all of his credibility, and that being the loudest game. Because I remember watching that game in Knoxville, and people in the restaurant I was at was barely interested in it because, you know, at the same time, I believe that was the same day that Florida had beaten LSU, correct?
Yeah.
And ended Tennessee's chances of winning the East.
Yeah.
So we need to get you in a night game. Let's get Sawyer some tickets to Tennessee, Florida.
I went to – I did go to Tennessee,
Missouri.
Florida in 16, but it wasn't a night game. So.
Right.
I mean, that was loud.
It was louder than –
That was louder than night game.
It was louder than 2016 Missouri, I assure you.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think I went to the 16 Ohio game, but, I mean, that was like a 12 o'clock start. I wasn't even going to consider that one.
That one was quiet, and I was miserable, and I was like, what am I doing here?
It was 140 degrees.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It was
warm. Ruined my nephew for Tennessee. Tennessee football was ruined for my nephew for the rest of his life because I took him to that game.
So hot, Uncle John.
So Pandemonium Reigns kicking off. Let's just start some of that. 5 o'clock?
Yeah, 5 o'clock. They have a band performing beforehand, and all the vendors will be open, and then you'll have the trucks as well that'll be there. So you get food and drinks from the food trucks there.
I love the synergy we have. You guys are the main title sponsor. We're one of the main media sponsors. Todd from Hops and Hollers is going to be selling all the beer. Like, it's a family affair at World's Fair Park this Friday from 5 to 8, or not 5 to 8, but from 5 and then leading up, I think they said around 8 when the game will kick off, correct?
Yeah, they're wanting to do the game starting at 7:30, I believe.
Okay,
so they're looking at like a 10 to 10:30 is when the game will probably end.
Cool.
So.
And then you can either continue the party, continue the pregame right there downtown, the strip, or you can go home and rest up for a long Saturday. All right, and then you also got Dirts and Donuts coming up on the – on the bye week, correct?
Yeah, October 6th is when that'll be. And talk about just the family again. I mean, we got Hops and Hollers sponsoring the cornhole tournament. You got
a chance
to win I believe, $150 gift card to Hops and Hollers for winning the cornhole.
There we go.
You got Fox Sports Knoxville is going to be a sponsor again.
That's right. Synergy, baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really fun event. We actually have about 25 sponsors right now, and then we're looking at probably another 5 vendors coming on board towards the end of the last couple of weeks leading up to the event. We're getting the off-road track together.
Awesome.
T-shirts and hats.
To be your test driver on the off-road track.
I think that'd be good.
I think that's how I'm going to spend my off week.
I think that's a good way to spend the off week for sure. I mean, we're expecting a really large amount. Like our pre-registration, we already have over 150, and we're 2-3 weeks out.
I've been watching a lot of Fast and the Furious. I am ready to go. If I'm test driving, get a, is it a race thing? Are you supposed to drive it as hard as you can?
Oh, no. You're supposed to go like 10, 15 miles an hour.
Oh.
But, I mean, if you... I mean, you bring well, your. I mean, you bring your. Hun- you bring your Hyundai out there. We'll see never what. Mind. See what can happen.
I won't. I won't. I won't go Fast and Furious on it.
I will say that never someone. Mind. Someone did take their Jeep on there last year, and yep. it like broke like midway going up one of the hills.
Oh. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So it's one of those things. In my mind, I'm thinking like a dirt round track.
Oh no,
it's like
you
a
got.
Big obstacle
oh yeah. Course. You got.
Even
you got,
better.
Oh yeah. You got hills, sand. You got a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Come on, John.
My bad. Okay, when I hear dirt, I just think of dirt tracks, but okay, I gotcha. So that's the bye week, October 6th. You can follow Toyota Knoxville on Twitter for more information, like their Facebook page. Before I let you go, Sawyer, last time we talked, it seemed like the Braves were kind of in the midway point. Like, are they going to make a run for this division? Are they going to try to make the playoffs? Are they going to, you know, maybe punt and not go after any pitchers at the trade deadline? Well, here we are, September, middle of September, end of September, the Braves pretty much have a stranglehold on the division.
Yeah, 6.5 games up, which is a really commanding lead, honestly.
They got 7 with the Phillies left, so anything can still happen.
Yeah.
But it seems like the Braves, I think the last I checked, had a 98% likelihood to win that division.
Yeah,
you buying their chances in the playoffs? Because it seems to me that they don't have the arms for the playoffs.
I don't think they have the arms for the playoffs. Unfortunately, I think that they might get knocked out first round. But I'm interested to see how well they do. I think the biggest thing for them is that, you know, Washington just kind of tanked, traded most of their guys. So,
yeah,
okay,
I don't know
well,
what Washington what happened with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure either. But, I mean,
maybe they shouldn't have fired Dusty. Maybe Dusty was holding them together.
Might have been. He was
ruining the pitching arms, but maybe he was holding them together.
Might have been. But overall, I mean, they had a lot of solid pickups, you know, at the deadline, a little bit after the deadline as well. I think you look at Venter's doing a really good job in the bullpen. I think Gausman's somebody that they're going to be able to utilize for years to come. I mean, he's got, I think, another 2-3 years on his contract. I think the biggest thing for Gausman is that you take him away from the division he was in. I mean, he's facing the Yankees and Boston basically every night, and then also good Toronto teams, and then take him into a easier division. You know, Braves aren't playing Yankees and Boston every day.
We didn't need a full breakdown. We're up against the hour, Sawyer.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate
I'm sorry.
Bring your Hurricane Florence relief donations to Toyota Knoxville. Come see us, World's Fair Park, Pandemonium Reigns. Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports.